Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready? Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Thriving Marriage podcast. Actually, today what I'm doing is I'm going over a bit of a question and answer period. The whole thing I'm trying to answer here is, like, is there actually hope for your marriage? We've had several submissions, but I am also checking out the comments. So if you want me to answer a question, please let me know. Put it into the comments. I will try and get to you if I can. All right, so I'm just going to start off reading some of the ones that have already been submitted. If I get a lot of live comments, I will shift over to some of those as well. So I'm going to start with Hans. So Hans wrote a whole bunch of what's going on, but it sounds like, you know, if I had to summarize, it sounds like in Hans' situation, his wife and him started to have some coldness and just a lot of negativity after the second child was born. There was a lot of back and forth, some attempts at therapy that didn't exactly go well. And a lot of that what was uncovered was some past trauma. It's gotten all the way, it seems like it's continued to escalate with a lot of up and down, but it seemed like getting worse in Han's situation, and especially in his situation. Something that is troublesome is where his wife tried to sneak something into a legal agreement that would have really done something terrible to him. So, like, he's having to now get lawyers to protect himself. And she's just wanting space, and they can only communicate about their co-parenting. So that's a lot. I'm summarizing here. There's a lot going on. What I'm recognizing is that there's been several different attempts at therapy, and it almost seems like in a lot of these attempts that are being described, there's this leaning towards finding fault with one party or the other, even across multiple therapists. So normally I would look at this and I'd say, okay, if we have multiple counselors that are finding some problem and some behavior needs to change, I'm wondering here if Hans is really having a lot of insight. But he's saying that he did take a good amount of time to really try to find himself, to own up to some problems, to, you know, like, really make a whole lot of changes. And still the only things that were really focused on is all the negativity. I'm also seeing that there were several attempts here to reconnect and do things like go out on dates, but there's such heavy boundaries around those situations. And it seems like they were interpreted quite negatively. Now, the question is, like, is there hope for this relationship? And I would say, like, this would be a bit of a long road. It sounds like Hans has already been going at this for a couple of years. But if I were to kind of lay out what needs to happen step by step, obviously things need to calm down. Usually a really good place to start is by starting with, well, first, like, making sure that you yourself are confident in positive actions that you're taking. But secondly, where I think that this is going to get a little bit more traction is, here is Hans trying to cooperate with his wife about all these, like, building things like dates and connection and all these other things, when there's so much pain going on in their interactions that isn't being addressed. And a lot of those higher goals just aren't really going to work. So, you know, if I were to focus on things with Hans, I would suggest like that he really focus in on finding goals, the cooperative goals, especially around these points of pain, especially focusing in on some of her concerns and why she finds the interactions painful. I also think that it would need some time really having some boundaries about accepting some blame in some positive ways. And this is that's a complicated process. Like, how do you communicate support and validation while having boundaries about accepting blame and criticism is a tough line to walk. But I think if those things were able to get a little bit of traction, that would open up this situation to a lot of other possible solutions. But like all of that would need to be handled first. So if we were able to calm things down and at least get some cooperation around some eliminating points of pain, it's only then that I would think that she'd be a little bit more open to some more common goals. Probably not even a couple sessions at that point, or probably not even like dates at that point, but like maybe some lighter things like shared family interactions and things like that. But this is all just kind of my brief speculation on where this could go or where it should go. At the same time, like, I want to acknowledge that his wife is taking some pretty harsh actions that could actually have real serious consequences for him if he doesn't protect himself. I don't think that it would be wise to dial back any of those protections, but I think it's good to balance the need for that protection in some attempts towards fixing some problems. I think it would require a whole lot of communication around intentions around those protections. So like over-explaining like the need for a lawyer and why you're doing it for some healthy reasons and possibly some ways to remove some of those boundaries if she's really upset about those sort of things. So like I said, I think it would take a whole lot with where the situation is at right now, but I don't ever like to say like there's nothing that can be done. I see a very clear path towards making some progress here. It all kind of depends on whether Hans wants to continue to walk down that path, especially considering that he's already been doing this for a couple of years. If he is, I really highly recommend that he gets some outside support to help guide him along that situation, because, you know, otherwise this is going to turn into a really difficult scenario. I just think it's not a wise thing to try and do on your own, Hans. All right. So I'm looking for, once again, looking for some comments. I can keep reading through some of the submitted things. If you guys want any sort of help, please let me know in the Facebook comments. And I can probably answer some of your questions. Right. So we are going to keep moving along. This one is going to be for Jessica. So Jessica was writing in saying that there's a lot of arguing in their marriage. Her ex-husband left her and now lives with his mom and mom's fiance. There's some speculation that the ex-husband is in a new relationship. And she said, I don't feel that there's any hope for reconciliation. So I'm going to point out what's probably the biggest obstacle. You know, one, obviously, like, it sounds like there's already a divorce and it sounds like this has been going on for some time. But what I'm seeing there is, since there's a lot of arguing, I'm guessing that really played a lot into the downfall of the relationship. Always when we're starting in on the process for any amount of reconciliation, there has to be some consideration for how the quote unquote, the impossible problem is going to be solved. What I mean by this is people who are considering separation, divorce, they say to themselves, here is this impossible problem. I cannot solve it. So it becomes easier to separate rather than continue to deal with this problem. Even further, beyond the impossible problem, there has to be some understanding of the root causes, like what kept this problem in place and what prevented solutions. So in the example, if like arguing was the very apparent problem, there's way too much arguing. What prevented Jessica and her husband from actually sitting down solving that? It might have been communication issues. It might have been like a lack of ability to listen to each other. Maybe it was that neither person was feeling heard or validated. Could be any number of things. So if I were to approach this, now that they've already, it sounds like already divorced and they're already living separate, there has to now be a reason to engage in any sort of relationship at all. Some sort of reason that's agreed upon. You know, at this stage, it might be something like, if there are kids, of course, a co-parenting relationship is a good reason here. But lacking that, there, you know, you may be able to appeal to your ex-husband and say, hey, look, I'd like to resolve some things. I'd like to at least see if we can remain friends. You know, you're looking for that minimum viable sort of relationship that they will agree to so that you can build something out. If there's a lot of resistance towards that sort of agreement, then you need to, you know, you need to inquire a bit and figure out what makes a very minimal sort of relationship a threatening sort of prospect. You know, if does being friends mean that there's going to be more arguing? Does being friends threaten a new relationship? Like, you need to then make some accommodations to make sure that, you know, for Jessica, that her ex could feel comfortable or safe approaching a relationship again. I think that what would be in order at that point then would be some amount of discussion about what happened and why things felt impossible, and some amount of time to try and solve that impossible problem. Like, this is all, I mean, this is, we're getting into like the thick of things, but you know, I think that's where you should start for Jessica, is try, you need a minimum viable sort of relationship. I mean, I could walk through the whole process here. I'm gonna show you guys what I'm working on here. See if I can manage this. Well, like, this is part of a bigger process, a much bigger process, where we're like trying to resolve some problems here. We're trying to get the partner's involvement and trying to get them to put a pause on some of the unhealthy behavior. We're then starting to go through some healing cycles as we tackle very specific problems. We go to a much larger sort of space where like all sorts of things can happen. But this is not like a simple, straightforward process. You know, at the beginning, it's maybe a little bit easier. Like I said, it's like a little bit more straightforward in that I do expect for Jessica that her husband is going to be quite a bit resistant to engaging with her. So, you know, a focus on making changes for herself and figuring out what she can accommodate to make things more comfortable for her husband is probably where things need to start. If that makes sense. So that's what I have for Jessica. I'm going to check in on some comments here. I do see that Robert is asking some questions over in the comments. So Robert's saying, she's asked family members, why would I get an attorney and why am I treating her like an enemy? I feel like she just reacted based on emotions. And is not sure about divorce, but no one is telling her it's okay to stop divorce or start talking about reconciliation. My wife was upset I got an attorney to get order of protection dismissed, and she thought that was a divorce lawyer, and she felt hurt and got a divorce attorney herself and filed for divorce. This has all been a misunderstanding. I think she is so far in her pride and won't let her stop. Okay. Robert's situation isn't terribly uncommon. As in, the relationship kind of gets past this point and everyone has to put up their guard. They have to put their guard up and they have to start defending themselves. And it's really, really easy to misinterpret this or see this as something aggressive when, you know, according to Robert, he's trying to protect himself. Much like some of the other people that I was just talking about, I do think that for Robert, a check-in with his wife to see, like, to try and settle painful interactions is probably going to be the best place to start. I think, you know, Robert's going to need to be very careful with that and make sure that he himself is approaching these interactions in a very calm manner, that Robert's focusing in on personal changes with this. But like, as long as Robert is establishing some good personal changes, that some of the concerns within the relationship are being addressed by him, then I think it's easier to start addressing these personal or these points of pain in their interactions. So to recap thus far, I'm saying Robert needs to focus on personal changes first, just focusing on how he's coming into the relationship, into the interactions. And then I think he can approach and say, hey, we're having a lot of friction right here, and I would like to solve this together. I suspect at this point here, she's probably going to be upset. She's probably going to fire back. And the more that you can validate some of her concerns and try to be on the same side, saying, hey, look, you're feeling threatened, and I don't want you to feel threatened. I'm also needing to protect myself. How do we go about doing this? I'd really like your input on this. So like gaining that cooperation around solving these lower, like these points of pain, these in their interactions is, I think, the best place to start that part of the process. Because I think that there's probably some ability to de-escalate and to explain some things. I'm not sure why there is a order of protection right there. So there's this, okay, Robert's saying some more here that, unfortunately, I can't communicate with her due to the order of protection. I've asked my attorney to reach out to her attorney about what we can do. I'm focusing on personal change, but my kids are attacking me on why are you going to church or counseling? Why are you trying to eat better and get healthier? I'm not sure why the kids would have problems with you working on yourself. That doesn't seem like a huge problem for the kids. But that does make it much more difficult for Robert if there is a lack of ability to communicate. If I were to pivot, and like I said, this is now entering into some complicated territory. But if I had to give a very broad solution, I'd absolutely recommend getting some personal help with a counselor or someone from our team. But like I said, the general solution there would be to, be able to pass along some amount of communication and say, hey, look, this is what I'm working on. I hope that we can de-escalate this a little bit and have a little bit more communication. I'd really like to resolve this concern for you and go off and do your thing for a bit. Check in a little bit later. Okay. So Robert's saying she lied to a judge and said I hit her and threatened her. She was mad. I decorated house for Valentine's Day and accused me of witchcraft. Those are some extreme sort of accusations. So like even right there, like the point where I would try to settle things down and say, hey, look, I can see that you're really upset about some things. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to work on this, this, and this to try to help you feel comfortable about our interactions. This is what I'm going to be working on for a bit. I might check in later. Keep it fairly short, fairly simple. See if that can be passed along. And basically, you're having a bid for some attempt to like communicate a little bit further down the line once you've tried to address your side of things. Is that probably think the best way to go for Robert? We're going to keep going with people commenting here. Donna saying, X hasn't communicated in 3.5 weeks. He did send an audiobook on trauma weeks ago. I sent him 2 books to look up and no reply. He just dropped out of sight. I finally texted him and asked how he is. Is he okay? And if he had a chance to see the books I sent. I also mentioned I'm back in the USA. I thought his response was going to be negative. My anxiety got the best of me. He did respond, said, I'm not going to lie. The last few months have been really hard. I didn't get to the books. I'm having family issues and I'm going away for a week to get some rest. I haven't replied back to him. Bit unsure on what to tackle. Now, I know a little bit more of Donna's case because I've had some other conversations with Donna. I'm going to point out in Donna's case, her husband didn't really respond negatively to her being closer in physical proximity. I know that they Donna was in another country for a bit. And so now that she's back and a little bit closer, like I said, he's not responding negatively. He is responding. And, you know, in this these sort of cases, we want communication to flow and we want communication to be rewarding. And a lot of this is going to be interest in what they have to say, validation and feelings. And, you know, if that's going well, some small asks. So a small ask in Donna's case might be like, hey, I wouldn't mind catching up sometime. Or, you know, even if it needs some accommodation, hey, I wouldn't mind catching up sometime, but I want to make sure that it's comfortable for you. If, you know, we could certainly meet in a public place. Something along those lines, I think, would probably be appropriate. But I think Donna should respond and try to really reward the communication that he is sending. So like I said, lots of validation, lots of interest, potentially some questions to kind of further the conversation. You know, and then if there's going to be a small ask, make sure that it feels not too far not too far away from where they're at, just something small and maybe some accommodations. So especially with you being a little bit closer, I think this is an opportunity for you to kind of demonstrate the interest in being around. I know for Donna, that was one of the big concerns, is that her ex didn't feel like he mattered and as she kept going other places. So like this is an opportunity to reinforce how much he matters in interactions that he's allowing for right now. All right. Let's see. I think I'm just double checking some things. I have some more comments. Let's see. David is saying, I was recognizing David's name. I thought I had answered some questions for David. But anyways, David's saying, wife has her heels dug in, but this has to be her idea to save the marriage, and her therapist says 100% we can save it, but we need to make her fall back in love. That's it. Yeah, I have had some conversations with David. That's why I was like, oh, of course I recognize the name. And yes, so here's what's going on. So like with David, he's saying therapist says 100% it's savable. But his wife is digging in the heels. Specifically, that's what should be focused on, not in let's save the marriage, let's reconcile, let's fix everything. Let's just focus on what's going on right immediately between the two of you. She's digging in her heels, and there has to be some consideration of why she's digging in her heels, because it makes sense to her. Very likely, she feels justified in holding back or being hesitant or trying to protect herself. And the more that she feels like you're on her side, that you validate some of those feelings, that you want to address some of those feelings, the less need there is to dig in the heels. So if we were to give a hypothetical example of something like this, let's pretend that like my wife this was the case with my wife, and she was very resistant to fixing things. I would probably go to her and say, hey, look, I can see that you are feeling really hesitant about this, that this probably feels really scary for you. And I'm guessing that you probably don't want to feel like you might get hurt again. So I would probably go to her and I'd say, I'd really like to work with you, and I'd like to understand a lot about the concerns. Specifically, you know, even if you don't want to agree to that, like, I get how this could be scary. And so I want to do a few things to help you feel a little bit safer. I'm going to give you a little bit of space. I'm going to be attending some therapy myself. I'm going to be reading these books because I want to make sure that our interactions go well. And if you are saying that you can't really work on this right now, I get that. This must feel really overwhelming. So that's why I want to work on some of these things myself first before I come back and we have some conversations. And so to hear in this like hypothetical conversation, this hypothetical message I might be saying to my wife, there's a lot of validation. There's a lot of concern around her concerns. There's a lot of my own personal responsibility. I'm removing the pressure from her because I'm wanting it to feel safe. And I'm wanting her to feel like, okay, like someone is taking care of some things and it doesn't have to be me. So I'm trying to take away some of that sense of overwhelm. But like, this is quite frequently where I start off with a lot of cases, because the whole goal of this is to build up a position where you can say, I've made changes. I'm confident in that. So if you're coming at me and accusing me of things, like, I'm confident that that's not the case. And I can have some boundaries. It also allows me, if I've made a lot of changes, it makes it a lot easier for me to go to my spouse and say, hey, look, I've tried to really calm things down. Have I been softer with you? And they'll say, yeah, you've done these things. Okay, so what I need from you is, I really need to feel like there's some mutual respect. Can we make sure that we're talking to each other with a lot more respect? Because this is hard for me sometimes. It allows me for me to start asking for those little things from my wife in this hypothetical situation, and for me to have a little bit more accountability and to, you know, for that to snowball. I hope this is all making sense. Like, I feel like I'm going really deep into theory and all of that. Yeah, David. I do recall our conversation, and I just had to jog my memory there. So that's what I'd be working on, David, much like what I was just describing there. So I think I've gotten through the comments here, and hold on, I want to double check, because I want to make sure that if anyone's asking questions that I'm answering them. So let me look through some forms and stuff. All right, I think that is everyone that has at least posted a question. Now, if you guys feel like, hey, some of this sounds like some decent advice and you want some more help, that's what we're here for. Like, I'll be honest, sometimes I hesitate to come on and do these Q&As because I feel like it's such a broad overview. There's so many more details that could be discussed in more of like a one-on-one setting or a more formal setting. So like, if you come into this and saying, hey, I really need some help, make sure that you're getting some help. If not with us, at least with someone who really focuses in on relationships specifically, who really feels like they can support you in a really difficult relationship scenario like a lot of you are in. So my opinion is that like everyone's case that was presented here, there is a direction to go in. And even the situation where they're saying, okay, hey, there's a court order for no communication, there's some ways to pivot from that. So I don't want to say like that, like none of these cases are hopeless by any means. And like, I think a lot of people come into this and say, you know, my situation is special. My situation is especially hard. I'm just going to tell you, like, this is another Tuesday for us. And we deal with this stuff all the time. So if you're needing some very specific help, please come and ask some questions. Please come and talk to us. I'm getting another comment here from Cynthia, and I do want to address something like that, Cynthia's question here, and then I'm going to get back to my thought. Cynthia's asking, how do you make him fall in love with you again? And I'm going to tell you, Cynthia, there's a lot to this question. A lot of it depends on like where the relationship is at currently, whether he is considering divorce or separation right now, whether he's fallen in love with someone else. There's a lot to consider. You know, if we're talking about like being in an okay place where the relationship is somewhat stable and what you wanted him to fall in love again, those are wildly different solutions than he's hardly talking to you and is talking about divorce. Very different scenarios. Like if most everything else is good, you know, we would have a lot to talk about in terms of building common goals, getting excited about rebuilding connection, you know, trying to find common interests, common activities, getting out on dates more. But that's like, for lack of a better word, the word that comes to mind is like it's baby stuff. Like most people, it occurs to them like, okay, get out on more dates, do more things together to build connection. But anyways, there's lots of different solutions, Cynthia, depending on where the relationship is at. Some examples here. I'm working with a couple where like this is exactly the question. They're saying, hey, we're wanting to work through this marriage. We're wanting things to work out. And some of those feelings are gone. Like they've worked through a bunch of problems. They've decided not to divorce. This is a couple that I was helping get to this point, and they're saying, how do we rebuild those nice connecting feelings again? And that's a very different scenario than, you know, one where, once again, if divorce is considered right then, you know, if you don't have the cooperation from your spouse. So I hope that makes sense. So like I said, I think a lot of these scenarios, you guys need some one-on-one support for the most part. And that's if I have you walk away with anything in mind, as I would say that, like, please go get some individual support, get someone that you can talk to bounce some ideas off of, ideally someone who really focuses in on these sort of relationships, these deep relationship issues. So if you want to get some help, please let us know. Just say help in the comments, and we'll reach out to you just to see if there's a good fit for us to support your situation. Otherwise, you know, keep watching the podcast. We love to hear comments, and we love to hear your questions here. That thank you everyone for watching, and let us know how we can help. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.